as members of this council. And we pray your blessing upon each one of them today. Decisions that are made affect the lives of a lot of people. Decisions that are made affect not only today, but in the future. And we need your guidance. And we need your hand of blessing. Remember that the Bible says, blessed is the people whose God is the Lord. So lead us and guide us by your Spirit. And encourage us as we try to do your work and your will. Thank you for our fellowship together. We seek your hand of guidance and direction and blessing upon us today. And we pray all these things in your holy and redemptive name. Amen. Would you remain standing, please, and join with me as we salute our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, Dr. Toms. And Dr. Toms is with Grace Church in Aurora, Randy. And thank you very much for being with us this evening. The next item on our agenda is presentations. And the first item we have is a proclamation.
And do you want me just to give our names to you?
I will do it.
Huh?
I'll do it.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, you've got it.
Okay. Do you want to start?
Yes.
Okay.
I would. This is a proclamation proclaiming Tuesday, February 28, 2006, as Spay Day USA. Whereas, cats and dogs provide companionship to and share the homes of over 63 million individuals in the United States, and whereas two unaltered cats and their offspring
spirit
produce 420,000 more cats in 7 years, and two unaltered dogs and their offspring can produce 67,000 more dogs in 6 years, and whereas
humane societies and shelters have to kill approximately 4 million cats and dogs each year, although many of them are healthy and adoptable, simply because there are not enough good homes. And whereas the problem of companion animal overpopulation.
6, Marianne Reese Mayer.
Lane Anthony, would you meet me at the lectern? As mayor of the city of Pismo Beach, to present you with this proclamation. And would you like to say a few words?
Yes, I would. May I, please?
You certainly
thank
can.
You. Uh-huh. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Reese, and members of the council. My name is Elaine Anthony, and I'm here representing the Central Coast Animal Protection Society. Our organization coordinates the Spay Day program in San Luis Obispo County each year. We coordinate with the veterinarians, the County Department of Animal Services, and other humane organizations. The length of time, each year we ask vets, we ask them basically, to discount their spay-neuter fees for cats and dogs. During the promotion, which starts this week, by the way, they participate as they wish. It's strictly up to them. It starts this week on Friday, and it goes until April 15th. So we have a lengthened spay day here for actually almost 8 weeks. The discounts that the veterinarians give us, they vary from about 10%. Some vets also give free exams and other goodies and incentives to encourage citizens to have their pets spayed or neutered. The length of the time that the vets participate is strictly up to them, and it varies from 2 weeks, while some of them participate during the entire promotion. Another aspect of the promotion is that discount certificates are available, and they are given basically to people who need financial assistance. They're given by several humane organizations, as well as the Division of Animal Services. And also, CCAPS is sponsoring a Spay Day hotline, which begins this Friday, February the 24th. The hotline will include all participating veterinarians, their locations, phone numbers, and the phone numbers of the organizations offering financial assistance. Now, the telephone number for that hotline, which I happen to bring with me, is none other than 546-3700, and I hope you can get it up here on the camera so all the citizens of Pismo Beach can see it, and all of you, and of course all the people here in the audience too. We encourage everybody to tell their neighbors, if they have pets, if there are stray pets around, get them spayed or neutered, because our euthanasia rate is going up in the county, and we don't want to see a lot of unnecessary killing of animals. Once again, this phone number, 546-3700. Thank you again for the proclamation and for allowing me to speak to you today.
Thank you very much. We had one more presentation, which has been canceled for this evening, and it'll be presented at the next meeting. So the next item on our agenda is public comment period. And if Effie McDermott is ready, we will let her do her presentation on our historical program.
Well, my name is Effie McDermott, and I need a little technical assistance here. I'm here to ask you if you would begin the process of creating the portions of the general plan and zoning ordinance and ordinances that relate to the sections of the general plan that require you to identify historic properties and to take measures to preserve what is called the historical ambiance in the downtown. We're under a lot of pressure these days. We've already lost a number of historical properties, and how we might go about doing that it would simply have to evolve in the hearings and so forth. But I want to give you a little taste of the history of Pismo, if I can do it in 3 minutes. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, first slide here. This is the rock in the freeway. It's called Seagull Rock. And if you'll hit the next slide. It's hard to see on that, but if you see that white blob to the right and the white blob to the left, mm-hmm. those are paintings that are on that rock that have been slurried over by Caltrans, and they're starting to wear off now. The one on the left, which is smaller, says 1 mile to Pismo Beach, famous clams. And if you can envision in your mind when that rock was 1 mile from Pismo Beach,
wow.
The one on the right says Bromo Seltzer. Next slide. This is a one-room schoolhouse, Bank of America, on the left-hand corner, and to the right it's the theater and some offices in between. Next slide. The architectural features on this building are astounding if you stop and look at them. And this is something that we could emulate or preserve. Even if the building were not preserved, we could preserve this type of architecture. Next slide. This is all on the same building. They were really quite good at what they did. They broke this building up as if it were more than one building, and gave it unique and very interesting architectural features. You can see the item up there on the roof line and the little diamond above the windows and the scrolly thing on the left. Next time you're downtown on Pomeroy, look at this building. Next slide. This is the corner, the roof line at the corner. It's very ornate. It's beautiful, and Don's done a great job of preserving it for us. Next slide. Now, this is a view of Price Street looking north, and if you will look on the left, you will see what is now the I think it's a Landmark Hotel, that three-story brick building. On the right, I want you to look at that building. And next slide. And do you see that thing there?
Mm-hmm.
That is the Flying Goose, the Wild Goose Cafe. And now this is going to be a little trivia test. Next slide. Where is the goose now?
By the Honeymoon Cafe.
Okay, this is your test. You all have to go down Price Street and find where the goose is now. Okay? Next slide. That's a little bit difficult to see, but that's the El Pismo Inn when it was in its heyday. We've lost all of that except a few parts of it, and it's such a beautiful scene, and it's so, I mean, we have such a beautiful history that it's well worth preserving, and I want to just leave you with that thought.
Thank you very
much.
And
I would appreciate it if on an agenda in the near future you would begin to work toward this preservation of the ambiance, the historical ambiance. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was delightful. That was delightful.
Madam Mayor, may I say something?
Yes,
I did
you
not
may.
See the old City Hall on that.
I did allow more than 3 minutes. But it was delightful. Thank you very much. And I think we should put that on a future agenda for a discussion. The next speaker card I have is Tim Bittner.
Tim Bittner, 800 Norma Drive. I'm here just real quickly to bitch and complain about Los Robles del Mar one more time, since I see it's finally making it to LAFCO now. I wanted to point some things out here, and that was I moved here in 1987. In 1985, or thereabouts, all the homes where I live and Rudy lives and whatever were being built or in the process of being built. And at that time, staff and developers together kind of drilled some wells, 9 and 10. And they were supposed to provide ample water for the new housing. Much of it was supposed to be low income. And by 1990, it was obvious that the water was insufficient, both quantity and quality. The solution was state water. Citizens of Pismo Beach picked up the tab for the project because, once again, it was one of these projects where, yes, we have plenty, yes, it's good, on and on. The developers did not participate in state water. State water was supposed to supply our city to build out, including Los Robles del Mar annexation. It didn't. Jamie Foster and I fought a diligent battle with the council there to double what we were getting because we said, yes, we need more water. This is obviously not going to be enough. That came true. Staff usually does lowball the amount of water you need on a project like this. I think this one, again, is going to be, if you take all the water in the city and you average it out, there's too many places in the city, like Shell Beach or whatever, that use no water other than for drinking and showering because your water table's about that far below the ground and at certain times of the year about that far above the ground. So it's, you know, you can't just make an average. The homes that are being built up there are going to require, they're not going to be cheap homes, they're not going to be low-maintenance homes. There'll be a lot of water required for that. About 15 years later, here we are again. More development, which is very questionable water supplies, both in quantity and quality. Twice this has been before the council. The first time, oh, yes, we have plenty of water. We have people that we pay to say, yes, the wells are plenty of water and whatever. Then they're going to, another deal came back with the wells 9 and 10, and we're going to make an RO system that'll provide good water from that, and that died, and now here we are.
To take the time that you're allotting us, I'm just here in favor of a dog park, and I think it's something that we need. I want Pismo Beach to consider a dog park, and dog parks are not just for the dogs, they're for the people too, and they're probably the most used parks around. There are, throughout the United States, there's dog parks. There's dog parks all through the county, but there's nothing in the Five Cities area, nothing. And we're talking about all these animals that are spayed and neutered and whatnot, and all I'm saying is that I think it's good that people want to have their dog in an unleashed dog park where they can let them run, and the people enjoy themselves. And I think that probably the city should take an alliance with these people and help them to take care of to control the dogs. Because I don't think you can go to any park in the United States where you won't see a dog running around loose without a leash on. Mm-hmm. And there's not enough officers in the world to go out and arrest these people. And I just think that we ought to have a dog park in the Five Cities area, and I'd appreciate your thinking about it. We're just trying to kick off tonight and get it going. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next card I have is Mary Heathcoe. Did I pronounce your name right?
Actually, I don't know. I'm going before Mary Heathcoe. My name is Cynthia Eklund. I was hoping to speak first in our group. I live in Arroyo Grande, actually, but I did want to let you know, I wanted to talk to each of you this afternoon, let you know that there is a recreational activity that has been going on in the parks in the Five Cities area, and that you should be aware that this recreational activity is growing in popularity. This recreational activity is highly addictive, and it's being done by adults in every age group, and you should know that this activity is illegal. And I am referring to the off-leash dog parks. A lot of us, I in particular, for example, have used this one that in Costa Bella that has been in the news, Costa Bella Park. It's a small neighborhood park in Grover Beach. And Grover Beach at first seemed very open to the idea, and they've cracked down, and they're ticketing people. And what is the story behind this, and why I'm telling you that it is so highly addictive, it usually starts with two or three people that come to a neighborhood park, and they have something in common, and the something in common is they own a dog. They love the dog. Their activities around the dog. And once you start meeting these people and you get a sense of community, somebody else comes and somebody else comes, and it turns out it's so popular, so many people love it, and it becomes a problem. And Grover Beach cracked down on us, and yet what do? We miss what we were doing on a daily basis, getting together and sharing our lives on a daily basis. So we have gotten organized, and we are coming up with a name, and I don't know what the name of our group will be just yet. I mean, it might be FIDO. One idea was Five Cities Intergenerational Dog Owners. But we are going to become a nonprofit organization. We will be working with your park department and with the commission, the park commission. We will be approaching not only Pismo Beach, but Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande. County San Luis Obispo is on record as being very much in favor of off-leash dog parks. There are many cities that are in favor of off-leash dog parks. I have a listing that I will give to you ahead of time, but I will definitely go through the commission before we really approach and push hard for a dog park. But there are many cities that like to be known as dog-friendly. They like it on their website. They know a lot of people, tourists, when they're looking for a place to stay, want to find cities that are dog-friendly. It's good for business, and you should be aware of that. There are hundreds of cities that have dog parks, and in California. This is a partial list. It does not even include the one in Santa Maria or El Churro. We want it to be in neighborhoods. Seniors and disabled people cannot travel 25 miles north to El Churro or 9 miles to Napomo. It's not practical. I'm hoping you'll be open to the idea. We'll approach you again. You'll be seeing us in the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I give this to
Did Mary still want to speak or no? Okay. Thank you. Bruce McFarlane.
Good afternoon, City Council. I'm here by getting a middle area that's $110,000. The benefit package is 58% of that. So add $63,800, okay? That brings us to $173,000, plus a city car and a gas allotment. That probably brings it over to $200,000. Now, since a good way to save it is apparently we don't have a chief, and Commander Scott has been pulling double duty. And I hope the next time an opening comes up that we look for somebody within our system that knows this and that's been here, that we promote through the system. I sent a letter to the paper a long time ago. Okay. Bill, there's a lot of mom-and-pop stores struggling to survive. Bill, You got on the nonprofit charity T-shirts out of the pier area, saying that the local owners were getting hurt. Well, what gives here? The police chief can work on city time at his two shops. Well, I guess charity does start at home, or at least in the city's help with some higher-ups. It's my understanding that the police chief serves at the pleasure of the city council. I believe this behavior is inappropriate, but if you're pleased with paying top dollar for a part-time chief, then you should really be pleased when the other top heads of city management start moonlighting. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Leadership means leading at your place of where your desk is, I think. If everyone on the city upper staff starts moonlighting, we just might want to call ourselves Moonlighting Beach. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Art Anthony.
Madam Mayor, council members, Art Anthony, I live on Coral Court. Last Tuesday, council members Rabinald and Gonzalez G. appeared before the city's planning commission and spoke to strongly oppose a land use project downtown. Mr. Rabinald promised if the commission approves the project, he will see that it is appealed. In discussion, Mr. Rabinald also said, quote, "We all know residents are a drain on the city economy," end quote. This city council appoints and removes our planning commissioners. Earlier this month, an excellent commissioner was removed with no reason given. What message is sent to our commissioners when council members publicly urge them to take a negative action on an important project? If this project is appealed, it will come before this council for upholding or overruling the commission's action. It seems very likely it will be appealed because it is one full corner of Dolliver and Pomeroy and because the design is boxy and controversial. Now, having prejudged the issue, both Gonzalez G. and Rabinault will not be able to legally act and vote on this matter. Thus, two of our five representatives will not be able to do one of the jobs they were elected to do because of their own ill-considered actions. This is very disrespectful to Pismo Beach citizens. After the recent CDF episode was finally resolved on January 17th, Mrs. Gonzalez G. took exception to being criticized for potentially hazarding public safety. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that public persons, which you all are, must accept a higher level of criticism than private persons. As has been said, if you can't stand the heat, stay out of the kitchen. It is a fact that residents of Pismo Beach are not a drain on the city's economy. To say we are is very insulting. We pay property taxes the same as business property owners. We pay constantly increasing fees for city permits and for sewer bills, for example. All of this and more contributes to a healthy city economy. On the expenditure side of the city ledger, Pismo Beach Police and Fire Services, for example, which are the largest item in the city budget, are mostly directed to downtown problems and to the motels. Look it up. Another example, residential area streets are swept 6 times a year. Downtown streets are swept almost every day. You are not elected by votes from downtown. Residents who live outside of the commercial core make up about 85% of the electorate. Look it up. Downtown non-resident business owners did not elect you. Residents did. In a little more than 8 months, residents will choose a mayor and 3 council members. I would be very careful about insulting Pismo Beach residents if I were you. Madam Mayor, I request that items 4H and 4K be removed from the consent calendar for discussion under item 10.
Okay, thank you. I have no other speaker cards. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak under public comment?
Madam Mayor, members of council, Tony Spinelli. I just wanted to touch on the survey that the Chamber is still promoting. I think we're going to have it up for another couple of weeks. It's on surveymonkey.com, which is accessible through the pismochamber.org. Or pismochamber.com.
Goes beyond the point they should go as a council person versus a citizen so that we in the public would know I was present, I spoke. It's in the paper, and I think the public probably would like to know what the limits are, perhaps. I know I do, and others like me do. So if that would be possible, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Is the city attorney prepared to respond to that?
Well, I can respond briefly. I have not seen the tape. I don't know what happened at the Planning Commission, but the fact that a person is elected to a city council doesn't mean that they check their First Amendment rights at the door or at the dais. So they do have First Amendment rights to come in and speak on subjects that may be before the Planning Commission. Where the line gets drawn is where a council member is so personally embroiled in a dispute as to render the council member unable to render a fair decision should a project be appealed. The classic case came out of the city of Hermosa Beach. I could go into the facts in a little bit more detail, but in that case, I believe that the council member was walking around with a petition against a particular project and really trying to militate against it being approved, and the court said in that instance that was too much personal embroilment to sit in fair judgment of the project. We're a little bit premature, I'd say, at this point, since the project has not finished the Planning Commission process. We don't know if it will be appealed, and I haven't seen what happened at the Planning Commission, so I'm not really prepared to say one way or another what would be the effect of that.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to speak under public comment? These are items not on the agenda.
Merrily Hyman, 2141 Shoreline Drive. I, too, was concerned with the Planning Commission meeting. As well as the words of what was said at the meeting and how a person was represented themselves as either an individual or member of council, there was also a badge worn. And would that a formal badge as being a council member also say something as well as the words and actions? So I'd like a comment on to that too, wearing a badge. Thank you.
I don't think that the city attorney is really prepared to answer this question fully, as he's not reviewed the video. So I guess I would hope that he would look at it for future, if we do get to the point where we have to review this item at the council level. I guess it would be important. And I think most of us here sitting at the council table would not want for us to be represented at another meeting by one member. So I would say that individually from me. But I think that the city attorney needs to review it and give us an opinion on that. So I would defer to him. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to speak on an item not on the agenda? Okay, seeing none, I will come back to City Council comments.
Madam Mayor, if I may.
Take it you would like to be first.
I would like to be first.
And please, may I ask you right up front,
Let's
try not to use this for a total defense mechanism. If you want to do some explaining in that, that'd be great. But okay.
And I know some of you people are made out of the same mold, and I think that's unfortunate. The first thing I'd like to talk about is the Architectural Review Commission. You know, Effie's absolutely right when she comes forward and talks about what we need to do in order to protect our downtown. But really, what we don't have is any sense of where we're going in this community. And that was displayed by the project that went through Planning Commission. It was brought up at the Planning Commission in question, which I will address in a minute, by the way. But I would like to have this council and our city manager consider an architectural review commission so we can at least look at our downtown core, look at the Shell Beach corridor, and say, where do we want to be in 10 years, where do we want to be in 15 years, and where do we want to be in 20 years? That's very, very important. The reason being is that 80% of our community is built out. We're working on infill. And as we work on infill, there are hodgepodge projects that are coming forward. three-story buildings on this corner, underground parking over in this area. We've got 60,000 square feet of retail that's being proposed between the Benson property downtown and between where the mobile gas station used to be located up there. Unfortunate. I even had a council member, believe it or not, write and chastise me in an email, and I'm sure she'll be happy to identify herself if anybody's interested in knowing that. You know, what's interesting is that I absolutely refuse, as a member of this community, to not care about any and all developments, and I will not leave my citizenship at the door. I will continue to come to Planning Commission meetings. I will continue to voice my opinion. When people say, Rabinalt is up there saying that the residents are a drain on the community. You know, that comes from somebody that should know better, but obviously doesn't. You know, property taxes and those types of things. You know, only 12% of the property tax comes back to the city of Pismo Beach. Out of all of these general fund monies that come in, you know, we've got to pay for fire, police, we've got to pay for road improvement. We have to pay for all of those things. Don't let anybody tell you for a second that I don't care about the residents of Pismo Beach, because that is blasphemy,
okay,
in my opinion. I'm not finished yet, Marianne.
Okay, but that's not you.
And
this is a forum. Okay.
Marianne, please. I don't
Ooh.
Feel well.
You are.
I don't. Stop it. I'm not listening to. You know, listen to me. As far as not being able to vote on a Planning Commission item, it is absolutely not the case. If this thing is ever appealed to the City Council, I have every intention of voting on that. And unless there's a Fair Political Practices Commission tells me that I cannot, then I will.
Right. Please ask you to stop. Okay.
Marianne, there is no time limit on council discussions. And when three people from the audience come up and attack me, I have every right and I will continue to speak.
I'm asking for decorum, please.
Okay, then I'll talk a little lower. As also, when we're talking about this Planning Commission issue, you know, we have absolutely no plan for the downtown core. So consequently, when these individual projects come through, it is not only my responsibility, it is the responsibility of every individual within this community to pay attention. These Planning Commission meetings are just as important as these public meetings of the City Council. And the primary reason for that is that decisions that are made at the City Council level, at the Planning Commission level, unless they are appealed, they do not come before the City Council. So consequently, when we're out there at the supermarket and somebody comes up and says, why did you ever allow that to happen? Well, in many instances, we didn't know that it happened. And so, therefore, all of these components are very, very important to the makeup of our community, and it's very important that you all be involved and not listen to some of this lunacy that's out there. Madam Mayor, thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Natoli, do you have anything that you'd like to
say? Yes, I do. You might want to classify these comments under First Amendment rights. The selection of personnel to our boards and commission is a responsibility of the five members of our City Council, whose votes are equally weighted. Each applicant is openly interviewed individually so as to allow the Council to determine if the expertise the applicant brings fits the qualifications of the position at hand. Recently, from a field of highly qualified applicants, the Council filled openings on one of the boards. Immediately following the selection between meetings, I was approached by the chair and was verbally chastised for one of my selections. I could understand someone wanting to vent their frustrations over results that do not occur to their liking, and perhaps I would have even forgiven the action. However, the day following our selection, I received voicemails which appeared to be a continuation of the chair's attempt to chastise me. Among the voicemail messages, one contained what I considered a very unprofessional attack on my character, integrity, and ethical values. I am saving this voicemail for future use. I chose not to play it this evening. I have served the public faithfully for over 7 years on this council, and my votes have greatly contributed toward our city's progress into the commendable position it now enjoys. In a democracy, we can agree to disagree and still respect each other's opinion. However, to be chastised as I was, then threatened by voicemail, is unconscionable, unacceptable, and unforgivable. There is no need for this type of behavior toward a fellow member of this dais. And that's all I have, Madam Mayor.
Thank you very much. Councilmember Higginbotham.
Well, lots. Can we take a recess? No, I'm kidding.
Might be a good idea.
Last Wednesday, I attended a seminar put on by the FPPC because there's new laws regarding the filing of 700 forms. And I was pleased to see our Parks Commissioner, Tom Absher, who's in the audience. He also attended and brought back packets of information for the council and planning commissioners because Councilmember Natoli has brought this council up to speed with ethics codes, and we want to make sure that we're reporting accurately. And so I just wanted everybody to know that the council has been given that information. I wanted to ask Randy Bloom about the grant for the Dinosaur Caves bathroom, where we are with that, and do those grants ever expire if we don't move forward and build that bathroom and move the other?
Yeah, answer that.
Please, would you answer?
We're still in the what I call the livable area of the grant, and the plans have been drawn. The bid preparation package is started, so we're on schedule in relationship to the grant. But however, the restroom is in competition with the rest of the CIP program. So we watch that and make sure that we don't lose anything. But we are moving forward with that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. And then on the lightest note, I guess, of the evening is the Arroyo Grande High School girls water polo team, which my daughter's part of, is down in Agoura as we speak playing. It's CIF, and it's second round, and I hope they're winning. Thank you.
Hope they are, too. Thank you for making this a little bit lighter. I allowed a lot of conversation during the City Council comments and more than I would want in the future, and I understood why you were trying to respond to some of the criticism received, and I was a big person, and I will cope with the criticism I received in public this evening, too. I didn't appreciate at the Planning Commission meeting for you to use the total council, but that you and I discussed.
Right, it was
together.
Your interpretation,
so,
and you were dead wrong. You know, I looked at that tape as well.
I'm sorry I brought it up again. Let's just let it go. I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
I was very proud of myself at that meeting.
There's, a little difference in opinion there, but I have just a couple of things. At that Planning Commission meeting, I think Ted Earing talked about possibly having the ability to architecturally some way place the projects into a program, and I think Shelley did some research for me and came up with a software that can do that, and I wondered if we would be able to do that. I think it would be helpful to the Planning Commission and to us when we're looking at the downtown. It's called SketchUp software, and it's paired with digital photography.
That's great.
And I had hoped to have that when I did my State of the City address. And if that's something that we could manage to get a hold of, I would really like for us to be able to utilize that. I think that the commission could use it when they're trying to review projects that come before them conceptually.
Mm-hmm. In answer to that, we've been, at staff level, we've been discussing how to create a template that as projects come in conceptually or formally, they can be placed in so you see the whole imagery of what the decisions have been made on previous projects. And so we have been trying. We didn't do a good job on the try, but we didn't have the correct software.
So you
for
know
the
what
mayor's
that,
speech, yes.
Do you know what that software is? And
yes.
Is it very expensive? Or
I'm not sure how expensive it is, but
I think it would really be helpful for us to really visualize what is happening, and for us to it would help the Planning Commission, I think. And then, you know, I know that we don't have an architectural commission at this point in time, but I think the Planning Commission does review it from an architectural point of view when they do their conceptuals, do they
That's correct. A few years ago, we started this conceptual review process where we believe critical projects come into the downtown area or other areas of the town, is we take to the Planning Commission and we identify all the policies relating to that project. And then the applicants invited and the general public's invited and the Planning Commission, and all three components can freely discuss it and review it, and issues can be brought up without the pressure of a decision made that night. And it's been extremely valuable for gathering information from the Planning Commission, the general public, and staff and the applicant. And we've been using that project on projects that may never come to fruition. We've had two or three concept reviews on the same piece of property. And each time the Planning Commission has their certain issues that they want to be addressed, and the applicant takes it home and takes a look at it, and sometimes they come back and sometimes they don't. But it's been working well as far as trying to garner as much input early on as possible instead of just submitting an application for a public hearing for the Planning Commission to make a decision that night. I believe it's been working quite well.
Who helped you do that research?
Councilmember Higginbotham.
My reason was a price. There wasn't a price.
I just got the name of it.
Gotcha.
And you can Google it to get the information
on
the
software. So anyway, I just thought that was a really... I had seen it used at a past League of California Cities meeting, and I was trying to find out what it was, and I wasn't sure it was that software, but I certainly appreciate getting that information. I think it'd be helpful if we could use it in the future. And I don't know if you noticed in the paper the article that was recently done by our reporter. I thought it was a good job about where some of our money went on the auxiliary lanes, the money that would have been used on the Price Street extension, and I'm very proud of that fact that we were able to defer some of that money to the South County in those auxiliary lanes. So I'm really pleased with that. And I think that's all I had this evening. So with that, if there's no other comments, we'll go on to the consent agenda, and I think I will pull 4H and K as requested by a member of the public, and I'll entertain a motion for the balance. I'm sorry? Okay, we've had a request to take a 5-minute break. We will do so. We haven't have a motion yet.
Right. Don't you
okay.
Do a motion?
All right. Well, okay. I will entertain a motion to approve the balance of the consent agenda without items 4H and 4K.
So moved.
And I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Councilmember Natoli?
Yes.
Councilmember Higginbotham?
Yes.
Councilmember Ravenault?
Yes.
Mayor Reese?
Yes.
Passes 4-0-1.
Thank you. And items 4H and 4K will be taken at the end of the agenda as usual. Okay, and with that, we'll take a 5-minute break. We will be back at 5:30.
everybody ready?
Okay, we're back in session. And there are no public hearings. Business item 6A, Mr. City Manager.
Madam Mayor and Council, business item 6A is a recommendation on the mobile home rent control subcommittee. And what I'd like to do is request that the council, with your permission, that we pull this and consider it at a future council session. The staff and the subcommittee would like to have a little bit more time to do some more research, but we'll bring this back to you with a recommendation at some future time, if that's agreeable to you all.
It's okay with me.
Okay, thank you very much. And if the consensus, everyone's agreeable to that, okay.
Good.
That'll be fine. Okay, we'll move on to item 6B, Mr. City Manager.
Item 6B, I'd like to ask our city engineer, Dennis Delzite, to introduce this item. Dennis.
Good evening. The city has a storm drain that runs through an easement at 427 Indio Drive, and it's badly rusted. It's shown up on the screen. Badly rusted, and as you can see, it's actually parted for a major section, that location. It is jeopardizing the integrity of the slope, and it was unknown to us until it was brought to our attention by a resident, because it's really out of view. The easement runs between a couple of houses. So what we are requesting is an appropriation, and we've been advised that it requires a 4/5 vote to take on this project as an urgency matter. And we have been in contact with a couple of contractors. We are receiving bids. And with the council's approval, we can start work to repair this very quickly. And what we would need, though, is the council's 4/5 vote to declare that it is an urgent matter and to appropriate $50,000 from the unallocated fund balance in the general fund. So I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you. Is there any questions from the council? Please, Councilmember Higginbotham.
To do this kind of repair work, do you have to get permission from the Coastal Commission?
No, this is a maintenance repair. And under the Coastal Act, things that are maintenance, pretty much replacing and like kind, are exempt from going through the lengthy Coastal Commission process. However, though, a new project would, of course, require going through the Coastal Commission.
Thank you. And you don't have any issues, permission from the two property owners getting down there. They're happy to go.
They're very cooperative.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Is there any other questions of staff? Seeing none, I will go to the public. Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, I will come back to the council. Is there any more discussion regarding this item? There's none. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion that we go ahead and approve the resolution.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to adopt the resolution.
Councilmember Natoli?
Yes.
Councilmember Higginbotham?
Yes.
Councilmember Rabinald?
Yes.
Mayor Reese?
Yes.
Passes 4-0-1. Thank you.
4/5.
We got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Madam Mayor, prior to going to the city manager's report, I would just like to, I don't want to apologize for what I said. I'd like to apologize for the way that I said it. You know, for anybody to think that I don't get emotional and carried away with the city of Pismo Beach is just completely unfounded. And I'm embarrassed at my blow up. But on the other side, if you take all of that anger out of context and listen to what I was saying, I stand by it all. Thank you for that opportunity.
City Manager's report, please.
Madam Mayor and Council, I just would like to address one item that was brought up tonight on the concerning our police chief. I would say that we have an excellent chief of police, Joe Cortez. He's not here today because he's at his uncle's funeral, up in the Bay Area. But I'd like to also assure you all that all of the department heads keep me appraised of their whereabouts, and whenever they're absent, they have to fill out a request for leave or administrative leave or vacation time, which I have to sign off on. So, and all of them, all of those department heads are excellent in keeping me appraised of where they are. So I know where they are.
Okay.
They send me those requests, and I think we have an excellent chief of police. Thank you.
That is important for you to say. I think with what was said in the audience, as though there was time spent in other places during work hours, and I don't know for sure if someone knows if they were on vacation or what. But
and that's why I mentioned it. Obviously, Chief Cortez fills out requests for vacation, and if I approve it, he takes vacation, and during that vacation time, he may very well be working at a shop or, for that matter, going fishing.
Well, there's much erroneous information that comes out of the public, and it's always the same two or three that do it, so I understand that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. City Attorney's report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have nothing.
Okay, are there any council subcommittee reports?
Yes, tomorrow I will be attending or possibly chairing the Integrated Waste Management Executive Board meeting in San Luis. And that's all I have.
Okay, is there any other reports?
I don't have any.
No, thank you.
Okay, and I don't have anything either. So with that, we'll move on to the pulled consent agenda items. And the first one is 4H. Mr. City Manager.
Madam Mayor and Council, 4H is a general fund revenue and operating expense summary for the period ending December 31st, 2005. This item was pulled, I presume, because the public had some questions. Essentially, what the report shows is that for the period ending December 31st, 2005, that revenues to date were $5.9 million, and operating expenses were $6.2 million. The paragraph below that notes, though, that we had not yet received the reports for TOT, so it does not include those revenues for that reporting period, do not include the month of December, those substantial revenues. So I wanted to just mention that. Sales tax received through December is up 3% compared to the same time the previous year. Development permits in the planning department are up by 62% compared to December of 2004. Engineering permits are also up compared to last year. Building permits through the reporting period, that is the end of December of 2005, are down by 29%. It's a pretty favorable report so far. If I have any questions, although I'd be happy to address those, any questions from the council or the public?
Okay. Is there any questions from the council?
No.
Seeing none, I will go to the public. I have one card, and that's from Art Anthony.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, Council. Art Anthony, Levon Coral Court. Interesting report. General fund revenues up 16% from last year at this time. All categories appear to be up. TOT up 9%. Sales tax up 3%. Business taxes up 11%. Something is working. I had one question, and I believe George Eads has gone to look for it. Here he is. My question is relating to why the property tax collections show 72% increase. That sounded a little excessive to me. I know we've had a lot of new stuff built. George says he has the answer to that, I believe. Let me just comment before he does attack the subject that I think that anybody who believes that there is no plan and no vision and no grand scheme for this city's growth and development has not read the general plan, nor have they read the downtown specific plan, nor have they really been paying attention, because there is a plan. And we wouldn't have this kind of results on revenue alone if we didn't have one.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, I will...
Madam Mayor, could I invite Georgies to come up and explain that one? It's sort of an anomaly in our property tax collections and might sort of amplify that
okay,
for the public.
Certainly.
George?
It looks as though the collections were up 72%.
Madam Mayor and Council, yes, as a matter of fact, the collections are up in part because of timing of payment. We do not expect that for the year as a whole, they'll be up anywhere near that much. They'll be up maybe in the neighborhood of 9%, maybe a little bit more on property taxes. But the 72% is just that because of the timing of the county sending us the money.
So more money has been collected. 72% more than usual.
Well,
at this time of year, is that what you're saying? Not that there was more money that came in as revenue.
Yeah. This is a report of, in effect, sort of our general fund ledger. When money comes in, we write it down, okay, and then it's come in by the end of December, fine. And expenditures we pay out, and here's the checks we pay out, end of December, fine. Last year, some money came in January for property taxes. This year, we happened to get that January slug in December.
Okay.
And so it just makes it look like it's... Holy smokes.
Okay.
But it's understood.
One thing that is of, I think, interest to the council and the public, and George, correct me if I'm wrong here, but as a percentage of our general fund, property tax this fiscal year as compared to last fiscal year will increase from 17% of our general fund up to 22%. So every time new property is built here, as you all know, as a home is sold, it's then it's assessed then at its fair market value, and if the home hasn't been, you know, reassessed for 15, 20 years, it hasn't jumped up in value. So that also affects the amount of property tax that we take in. So it's a good news story anyway that it's going up from 17% of our general fund budget to 22%.
Okay.
Wow.
17% to 22%. Okay. Thank you very much. If there is no other questions, is there any other questions from the public or any other comment from the public on this item? Seeing none, I'll come back to the council. And Councilmember Higginbotham, you had a question.
I do. This is just for my own education, so bear with me. Could you please tell me the difference between, and this is from page one, it says development permits in planning are up 62%. But building permits are down 29%. So what's the difference between a development permit and a building permit?
The development permit is either ministerial or it's planning commission approval. It's the entitlement process part of the whole package. Let's say when you want to build a house, you have to go either it's in ministerial or you go through a public hearing at the planning commission. Once the planning commission approves that permit, you receive entitlement that you can go forward and apply for a building permit. We've been really busy on the front end so far this year.
Okay.
But our numbers are down as far as the volume of building permits. But if you look at the revenue, it's up because we're doing more complicated. Permits are being processed, a fewer number, but they're more complicated and more value to them. And so if you look at buildings revenue is right kind of at par, even though the numbers are down.
Right.
And planning, as I believe it's 80% of the budget has already been received through permits. So that's kind of what it is.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there any other questions regarding this item? Yes.
And it just some more misinformation was put out there, and I certainly am not going to get in a contest with this any longer. But, you know, just so the public knows, you know, these people that come up and say these things like they know what they're talking about really does not do the public any service. We have no general plan that's in place. We have that's fully been approved. We have a 1998 general plan, and we have a 1983 general plan that we're constantly trying to work before. There is no vision there. The other thing, it was also portrayed that there was a downtown specific plan. This city has no downtown specific plan. It came before the council many years ago and it was never approved. So, you know, when you've been on the council as many years as we have up here, it's likely that we do have a handle on what we're saying and why we're saying it. And to have these foolish wrong
is this related to this item?
Oh well, yes it is, because I'm just responding to one of the speakers here that was again giving misinformation. So that's all I have, Madam Mayor. Thank you very much.
Okay, is there any other questions regarding this item? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve item 4H.
And I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve item 4H.
Mm-hmm. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 4-0-1. Thank you.
Okay, item 4K, Mr. City Manager.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 4K is our quarterly investment report, and I'd like to ask our Treasurer and Finance Officer, George Eads, to give this report. George?
Thank you, Mr. Rice, Madam Mayor and Council. This report for the quarter that ended also at the end of December shows the quarterly investment that we have. And just very quickly, I'll simply hit two highlights in here. One is that our total cash investments at the end of December at $24 million, which is up about $800,000 from 3 months ago at the end of September. And we're also due primarily to increases in the rate of investment return, or the interest rate on our funds at LAIF with the state, the local agency investment fund, that we're looking at a increasingly attractive interest returns there. So we're now looking to see maybe $600,000 or $700,000 in total interest earnings from all of our investments this year. That would be something almost double what it was last year.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And I believe Mr. Anthony had a question on there that I'm prepared to answer.
When I get to the public, I will let him ask that question.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there any questions from the council regarding this item?
No.
Okay. Seeing none, I will go to the public, and I think Mr. Anthony had a question on this item.
Yes, Madam Mayor, thank you. Art Anthony, I live on Coral Court. Total cash investments, $24,306,797. Very good. My question is this. If we have a major disaster requiring a large amount of money, for example, if Shell Beach Road should decide to go into the ocean there just south of Dinosaur Caves Park, and we had to either pay for repairing it ourselves or share money with Caltrans or somebody else, how much of this $24 million is liquid enough for us to use it? And second part of the question, if it should happen, and I pray it doesn't, who would have to give approval for that? I presume it would be the City Council, but I'd like to ask somebody who knows. Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. City Manager, would you like to answer that either through your staff or?
Well, Madam Mayor and Council, the answer to Mr. Anthony's second question is the City Council. Of course, you all would have to approve that. And George, I'd like to ask Mr. Eads to come back up and tell us how liquid some of these various accounts and securities are.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. The liquidity in the investment policy, which will be a subject coming up very, actually, I believe, on the next council meeting, says we need to, the priorities are the security of the investment and the liquidity for timing of expenses. In this, the most liquid part is that which is in LAIF, which is in excess of $15 million. We can go get that. It's Tuesday. We can have it here by Thursday if we need to. We can get that very quickly, the money from LAIF. Mm-hmm. The other monies, the other big pot is that which we have at the top of the investment chart in our various government securities, adds up to $4.8 million. I believe that's the number. I'll let it get away from me here for a moment. But the those would take us a little bit longer, but again, certainly in a short time. And the LAIF funds, there would not be a cost in that we would not have to pay a penalty for withdrawing the money. These other securities, we would have to sell them at the market. The market right now is down about $170,000 compared to the book price, the price at which we bought them. But that'll all come back by the time that we, if we hold them to maturity, and but we would lose that amount if we had to sell them right away.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So we're liquid in well in excess of $10 million. Okay. We need it right away.
Okay. Is there anyone else in the public that would like to address this item? Okay, seeing none, I'll come back to the council. Does that bring up any questions for the council at all?
Madam Mayor, if I may.
Okay.
And I'm sure the public will remember this, several months ago I brought forward a request to raise our reserve from 15% to 20%, and I believe at probably the next budget cycle we're going to be proposing that. But you can never have enough money in the bank. And even though our little community is doing quite well, it only takes one earthquake, one tsunami, one Diablo Canyon reaction, something that could devastate us very, very quickly. So I'm very proud to have brought that forward. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there anything? If there's no other questions, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Item 4K to be approved.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve item 4K.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes 4-0-1. Thank you.
Okay, I think we have reached the end of our agenda, but I will just say one thing. I think even though we haven't adopted the specific plan for downtown, I think we use it as a guideline, and that the Planning Commission uses it as a guideline.
And my only addition to that, Madam Mayor, is you're absolutely right, but it is also 7 years old.
With that, this meeting's adjourned.